And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you once again. And folks, I'll tell you, I'm excited because by the time you're hearing this, and maybe, or at least if you're hearing it on the day of posting, you may hear it later on, but at some point, you're hearing this within 2 weeks of the conclusion of our Project 76 Standathon. Let me just go back again and refresh you. I discovered that July 4th to September 17th, from Independence Day to Constitution Day, is 76 days. September 17, 76 days from the Declaration of Independence. Really fascinating. We created Project 76 as an opportunity to focus us in three ways: to pray, pray for our country, of course, first and foremost, but pray for STAND, our organization, and the work that God has called us to do. And then secondly, to volunteer. We need volunteers from all over the country. We want to start STAND chapters all over the country. And it doesn't really take a whole lot. I'm not going to say it doesn't take anything, but it doesn't take a whole lot to start a STAND chapter. And then, of course, there are other ways to volunteer too. That's not the only way, but I just mentioned that because that's one of the priorities that we have to get STAND chapter started. And then the other thing is to give, to sow into what God has called us to do. Yeah, I've got a little, for those of you who are watching me, because of course this is being videotaped as well as audio taped, I've got sort of the preeminent issues, if you will. Now, we can't work on all of these at the same time, but we do at one time or another work on them all. Honoring the Constitution. You know, I get so tired of hearing people say, our democracy, we're not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. Restoring America's Judeo-Christian culture and values and heritage, because that's the culture, that's the heritage out of which the Constitution sprang. And that is the foundation for our nation. Our rights, our liberty, do not come from man. They come from God. Restoring God's design for marriage and family. I mean, all of this confusion. First of all, the tremendous decline of marriage. I was telling somebody earlier today. In fact, I did an interview with Stephen Strang of Strang Communications of Charisma Magazine earlier today, and he was asking me about the decline of the family. And I said, you know, in 1950, 90% of black children were born in wedlock to a two-parent married monogamous home. Now, it's the reverse. In some places, nearly 90% are born out of wedlock. And he said, what's the difference? I said, well, people say of slavery. It wasn't slavery. Slavery did not destroy the black family. And I'm not saying slavery was good or anything like that. The leftists tried to accuse me of that. But I'm not saying anything like that. The enslavement of another human being is always wrong. And it is always ultimately evil, even when it is operated in a fairly benign way. But nevertheless, it's existed all over the world. But even during American slavery, the black family, by and large, remained intact. And it wasn't until the 1960s when Lyndon Johnson and the Great Society program and the welfare program started that the black family began to break down. But guess what? All families in America began to break down. And so 10% were born out of wedlock in the black family. Guess how many of Americans of European ancestry were born out of wedlock? 3%. It's now close to half. 46% in some places. And the black family completely reversed. This has been bad across the board. Now, Asians have not caught up yet because They haven't really, haven't been a lot of them in the country up until now. But under the influence of this secular society, if it continues, they'll be affected. Hispanic families already being affected, and they're very, very strong on family, but they're also being affected. The black family is not, it's only more acute there, but it is not unique. It is not an anomaly. It is part of a overall trend that is affecting all families in America. We've got to restore the family as God designed it, marriage and family as God designed it, by the way, which means all this gender confusion and all this homosexuality and all of this nonsense, this sexual deviancy that the left is trying to push on the country is all an abomination to God, and it undermines the foundation of this nation, which is a Judeo-Christian worldview and the family the way God designed it. One man, one woman in the bonds of holy matrimony, producing and multiplying and replenishing the earth. That's it. Now, that's not Bishop Jackson's vision. That's God's vision. And that's what we got to come back to. Respect for life from conception. I say we need a constitutional amendment that says life and personhood are recognized in the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America as beginning at conception. Period. End of discussion. Then you could debate, you know, what the penalties would be and how you affect those penalties and so forth and assess blame and assess fault, but you can't kill a human being. You know, by the way, folks, I had a vision that God gave me of a whole sea of people standing around the throne of heaven and someone standing at that throne for judgment. And the person standing at the throne for judgment was an abortionist. And the sea of people said in one course as this abortionist stood there for judgment, "Why did you kill us? Why did you kill us? Why did you kill us?" And God showed me those unborn babies who were murdered in their mother's wombs, ripped apart, poisoned with saline solution, killed by a pill. Those babies are before God, growing and developing in heaven. Even though their earthly destiny was cut short, their eternal destiny is intact. And those people who killed them are going to find out they were in fact killing a human being, because those human beings are going to be standing there to bear witness to the fact that they were murdered. Why did you kill us? Individual liberty over identity politics. Enough of this, you know, race one nation under God. That's our vision at stand. One nation under God. Every person is an individual. Their ancestry doesn't define them. Their skin color doesn't define them. What defines them is their heart, honor or the lack thereof, integrity or the lack thereof, decency, compassion, caring, a concern for others. These are the things, their competence, their ability, their discipline, their hard work, their loyalty, their commitment, their determination. These are the intangibles that are in the human heart that really tell you who a person is, not their ancestry, not the color of their skin. Individual liberty over identity politics and ethnic identity and all of this other stuff that the left uses to divide us, supporting the rule of law. Wow, that's big right now, isn't it? In Washington, D.C., Chicago, and other cities where crime is just running rampant, just raging, and President Trump is trying to do something about it, and these leftists are continuing to say what Satan said in John Milton's Paradise Lost, better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. They would rather their cities, I'll give Mayor Muriel Bowser credit for it, for acknowledging that what President Trump is doing is good. So she's an exception. But this guy, Brendan Johnson in Chicago, with this, you know, we will not cooperate with ICE. And what do you, don't you think you'd be better off with 5,000 more police officers on the street? No, what we need is affordable housing. I mean, you know, you don't know what to do with somebody who is that dumb, that self-deceived, and that destructive. Because I had my staff give me the number. Since the Defund the Police movement began, of course, we've had hundreds murdered in Chicago, but 74 of those murdered are innocent children, many of them young. 74 innocent children. You know how many of those murders get solved in Chicago? 10%, sometimes 11, 12. 90% of those murders almost never get solved. We need to support the rule of law, support our law enforcement, supporting our military troops, because they're the ones who are putting themselves on the line for our liberty and our safety and our security and the national security of our country. And we need to support them. Guaranteeing educational choice. Our government schools have become systems of indoctrination. And we need to get back to education, teaching children to read, to write, to actually write cursive. Wow, wouldn't that be revolutionary? Oh, we don't want to put them through that. Oh my goodness. Actually teaching them to think, to analyze, teaching them facts and information instead of trying to indoctrinate them to hate their country, to hate their bodies, that they were born in the wrong body, and all kinds of other sexually inappropriate ideas for young children. I mean, I don't think I talked about this last week, it hadn't happened, but Snoop Dogg, Calvin Brodus is his actual name, and I'm no fan of his by any stretch of the imagination, never have been, and probably never will be unless he gets saved. But he took his six-year-old grandson to a movie, a Disney movie, Bud Lightyear, and in the course of the movie, they got a lesbian couple, they're having a lesbian kiss, and somehow, the lesbian couple's having a child. Well, the six-year-old knows something's wrong with this picture. And starts asking his grandfather questions. And Calvin Brodus on some podcast was, you know, giving a profanity-laced expression of his chagrin, his disgust, his unhappiness that he was forced to deal with these kinds of problems. And all he was trying to do was take his grandson to a children's movie. And he's got to deal with all this craziness. And he said, I shouldn't have to deal with that. Well, needless to say, the left, the LGBTQ community went crazy. And, you know, and then we started to hear that he had apologized. But then it came out, his staff said, no, somebody somehow got into his verified Instagram account, but he did not offer any apology. Because when I first heard an apology, I thought, why would you apologize for defending the innocence of your six-year-old grandson? Are you kidding me? You ought to be doing that all day long, and there's no apology to it. And I thought, boy, this gangster rapper apparently got played by the gangsters. But it turned out that they denied that he ever issued any kind of apology. And I trust not good for him, because you don't have to apologize for defending the innocence of children. We need educational choice, not this indoctrination that these schools are doing. I just brought in Disney because it's just part and parcel of the whole attitude that children, instead of being innocent and being protected, are really now the cannon fodder for this whole SPCG movement, sexual perversion, child grooming movement. And then finally, and I added this one in the last week or so, honoring the flag, because that flag is more than a piece of cloth. That flag represents the hopes, the dreams, the aspirations, the unity of the American people. It represents our country. And by the way, I happen to agree with President Trump when he says burning the flag is not a free speech act. And I'll tell you all my reasoning for this. And I'm a big believer in the First Amendment, and I want the greatest amount of free expression we can get. I mean, folks, I actually support the right of people to insult me and to say bad things about me. Now, I don't support their right to lie on me and say things about me that are not true, or that I did something that I did not do. That's a whole different matter. But they say, I don't like him. He's an idiot. He's crazy. He's stupid. He's extreme right. I mean, whatever they want to say, and believe me, they've said it all. He's a sellout. He's a traitor. He's an Uncle Tom, blah, 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 blah. I support their right to do that because that's what freedom of speech requires. You know, freedom of speech means you don't have a right to not be offended. So believe me, I'm a big believer in, it slipped my mind. Voltaire, I think it was, who made this statement, which used to be a conventional wisdom in America. I may not agree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. That's the way most Americans thought. But when you start burning the flag, to me, that's not speech. What you are saying, what you are doing is inciting. You are inciting a riot. You are saying, let's burn down America. In fact, I don't know whether you all caught this, but this conference in Washington, D.C., this pro-Palestinian conference where Rashida Tlaib spoke and others, they actually had speakers saying, we must destroy the very idea of America. You know, once we must destroy not only America, destroy the very idea of America. You say, because America is evil, we must destroy the very idea of America. These people are calling for the destruction of our country. Nobody who they accused of insurrection on January 6th was calling for the destruction of America. Not a single person that I ever heard about. And yet they were charged with insurrection, their threat to our democracy, and all this nonsense. So, no, you don't get to burn the flag. Now, let me be clear. You can point at the flag. You can curse it out. You can say, I hate that thing. You can basically use any words you want against the flag, and I'll defend your right to do that, even though I love that flag, and I'll fight for it and stand for it, and if I have to, I'll die for it. You say anything you want to say against it, and I support your right to do that, but when you start burning it, to me, you've gone from speech to incitement. You're inciting the people who support you by saying, let's burn down America. And you're inciting people like me against you who say, you want to burn down my country? Well, I'm going to stop you. You're not going to get that done. And this is what we don't want. We don't want to resolve our problems in this country with violence. And to me, burning a flag is an act of violence and an act of incitement to violence. That's the way I see it. Now, reasonable people can disagree about that, but I support President Trump's approach to it. I think you burn the flag, you ought to be charged with a crime. And, you know, I'm not saying you get life in prison for it, but you ought to be punished for it and made clear. You can say anything you want about the flag, but you don't get to burn it. You don't get to burn it. You don't get to deface it. You don't get to stomp it. You don't get to light it. You don't get to do any of that. But you can use all the words you want. You can stand right under a flag and point at it and say anything you want to say about it. But when you go to burning it, we've got a problem. So that's what Stan represents. That's what we're trying to bring the country together again under our Judeo-Christian values and principles and ideals and heritage and culture as one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. So we're down to the wire. We're 2 weeks from Constitution Day. I'm really excited about Constitution Day too, folks, because, you know, as I think I shared with you, 85% of Americans don't know that September 17th is Constitution Day. And probably fewer than that know that we're a constitutional republic if they listen to all this propaganda from the left. Our democracy, our democracy, our democracy. They don't mean that. In fact, let me give you an example. When my wife and I lived, my family lived in Massachusetts. Massachusetts, needless to say, is far left. It's not a right-to-work state. My wife worked as a teacher. She had to be a member of the union, whether she wanted to be or not. She had to give money to the union, whether she wanted to or not. In other words, they reached into the paycheck of money she earned, took some of it away, and gave it to the teachers' union, so that they could support homosexuality, they could support killing of unborn babies, things that my wife and I were categorically against, that she was categorically against, but she didn't have any choice. These people don't believe in freedom. Accusing President Trump of being a dictator. I haven't had anything President Trump has done affect me or restrict me in any way, and I don't think there's a single American who can say that, other than those who are up to doing something wrong. But there, we actually had money taken from us for a purpose with which we disagreed, and we were told, too bad, nothing you can do about it. If you want to be a teacher, you got to be a member of the union, and you got to pay their union dues, and we're going to take it right out of your paycheck before you even see it. When I was practicing law, we had, those of you familiar with this, some of you may not be, but every lawyer has something called a client funds account. I can't imagine there's a state in which that's not required, because say for example, you win a case, very often if you win a case for a client and there's a settlement, the check is made payable both to both the lawyer and the client, and the lawyer disperses the funds from his client funds account. Well, that money doesn't belong to the lawyer, and all of it doesn't belong to the client, but the money sits there, perhaps, you know, for however long it has to sit there. Maybe it's being held in escrow for a while, but it'll generate interest. Well, the state of Massachusetts decided that the interest from these client funds account, they were going to seize and use for purposes that the state thought was appropriate. And get, you know what they, yes, to promote homosexuality, to promote Planned Parenthood and killing of unborn babies and every other abominable thing you want to think of. And when the lawyers got together, we got together and sued and said, you can't do that because it's not the state's money. That money belongs to the attorney and the client. You don't have a right to take it and take the interest and do what you want to do with it. Now, if the client says any interest from the money that you're holding for me that does not belong, that belongs to me, or that's ultimately coming to me, you may take that interest and give it to XYZ. Now, a client could do that, or the lawyer could say, any money that I'm holding in a client funds account that is ultimately coming to me or that belongs to me hasn't been collected, I'll take the interest of that and I'll donate it too. You can do that. That's your money. But where's the state come in taking that money when it didn't do anything to earn it, doesn't have anything to do with it? We sued and went all the way to the Supreme Court of Massachusetts, and guess what they said? You don't have anything to say. Well, they can take that money and do whatever they want to do with it. These people don't believe in freedom. They don't believe in individual liberty. But they believe is power. They believe in power and control. And that's what they want for the whole of the country. And yet they want to criticize President Trump because he's trying to deal with crime in our country. And God bless him for trying to deal with crime in our country. I'm glad he's doing that. So look, these are the issues that we are working on. And we're asking for your help. Go to standamerica.us. That's standamerica.us. And we're asking for three things. Prayer for our country, first and foremost, and for Stan, because we're committed to doing what we can to contribute to the process of saving our country. Just as American Family Association, American Family Radio is dedicated to that. And by the way, they are our supporters and partners in what we are trying to do, just as I do everything in my power to support AFA and AFR, because I believe very strongly in what they're trying to do. I mean, you could call us a little brother organization, because we obviously don't have the breadth and resources of American Family Association, American Family Radio, but we're grateful to God for their support. And we're asking for yours. You can sign up for anything as little as $5 a month, or less than that for that matter, or you can go and make a one-time contribution, or if you can do more, feel free to do more. We will be grateful for whatever you give to help us carry out our mission of bringing Americans together across racial and cultural lines to uphold, protect, preserve, defend our Judeo-Christian heritage and values and principles. So standamerica.us is the website. Standamerica.us is the website. And we're a nonprofit 501c3, so your contributions are in fact tax deductible. Okay, lots of other issues to talk about today, so let's get right to them. First of all, the president's effort to deal with the problem of crime. Speaking of Stanley, we have been talking about this issue for years. In fact, since the whole George Floyd debacle and this whole dismantle the police, defund the police movement, which just caused a spike in crime. And it's been worse ever since. And even though they say, well, the crime is down, first of all, they lie about the statistics often by excluding certain things to try to make it look better than it is. But secondly, they can't stop. They cannot, you know, don't believe your experiences. Don't believe your lying eyes. Believe their lying mouth. I mean, come on. People know what's going on because they're experiencing it day to day. And there are too many people, even in the media, they don't want to, some of them don't want to admit it, with personal experiences with crime, or someone they know, someone they love, has personally experienced crime in Washington, D.C., in Chicago, in these other major cities, and you come along and say, oh, no, crime is down. There's really no emergency. Yeah, really? When people are being carjacked in broad daylight, Secret Service agent robbed, FBI agent robbed, in broad daylight. One, the Chinese woman who spoke at the press conference, did she speak at the press conference? Yes, she did. It might have been at the president's cabinet meeting, but at any rate, little petite Asian woman, 95 pounds, probably soaking wet, and some guy accosts her on a Saturday morning, sticks a gun in her face, tells her, empty your pocket, give me all the stuff, give me everything you got. And apparently, I guess, she's a little feisty little lady, and she said no. And the guy pistol whipped her. I mean, you know, broad daylight, Saturday morning. Carjackings are down in D.C. since President Trump put the National Guard in there and put all kinds of federal support in there. Carjackings are down 87%. 87%. Folks, it just goes to show, it's not a matter of the difficulty of this. It's a matter of the will, the political will. President Trump has the political will, and he's getting results. And you got people like Brendan Johnson out in Chicago talking about what we need. When Joe Scarborough, who is an ally, Joe Scarborough, MSNBC, the Marxist Socialist, whatever the new name is, but I still call it the No Brains Channel, says, don't you think 5,000 police in Chicago would be a help? He tried to avoid that question and finally gave the answer, I think what would help reduce crime is affordable housing. Wait a minute. Say that again. Affordable housing is your answer to crime? Last weekend in Chicago, depending on when you're hearing this, but the weekend of the Labor Day weekend in Chicago, over 50 people, I think the number is total, 52 people shot, 8 people killed in one weekend in Chicago. Oh, but we can now rest easy because we know that if they had simply said, hey, everybody, we're giving you more affordable housing, all the criminals would have gone home and said, you know what? We don't need to shoot anybody now because we've got affordable housing. We don't need to rob anybody. We don't need to carjack anybody. We got affordable housing now. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, boy, you know, brilliant. I mean, you got to have BBs for brains to believe that. And I don't know. Again, folks, to me, in fact, I was thinking about this today. I keep saying this is a cult. It's a cult. And I believe that with all my heart. I know I'm right about that. This is a spiritual stronghold in people's lives, this delusion that they're living under. And you know how you get people out of a cult? You don't get people out of a cult by trying to logically explain to them why what they believe is wrong. You have to deprogram them. Maybe we should be thinking about that this way. What does it take to deprogram these people? because they joined this cult. Now, look, they're still responsible. Everybody who joins a cult, one of these self-destructive cults that separates you from your family and separates you from reality and gets you thinking you're a superior being to know all this stuff that the rest of the world just doesn't know. And if only they knew what you knew, they would give their child up to be mutilated too. They would have their six-year-old injected with hormones to block puberty. I mean, but they're just not enlightened enough. Well, people who go into that, there's something wrong in the first place that makes them willing to sacrifice themselves and their children and their families to a lie. So I say there's something that the devil identifies in them that draws them. Remember Jesus said this? Jesus said, the ruler of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. In other words, Satan can't find a hook. Because that's what he's always looking for. He's looking for a hook. He's looking for something that he can use. Maybe it's ego. Maybe it's the desire to feel special. Maybe there's some kind of psychological deficit that, oh, we're part of this. Well, we're part of this and nobody else knows. I don't know. To feel superior, to feel enlightened, above everyone else. And along comes the cult and satisfies that need. And then the deeper you get into it, the more bizarre stuff that you have to believe in order to stay in it. And that to me is what the left and the Democrat Party have become. A demonic cult that believes things that the rest of us look at and go, that's crazy. And again, just like any good cult member, they look back and say, well, I feel sorry for you because you are so unenlightened. Because if you were enlightened, you would be celebrating sending that boy into a girl's locker room. Because after all, no matter what he looks like, no matter what genitalia he has, no matter how much hair he has on his body, he's no longer a boy. And guess how we know? Because he says so. And girls ought to be thrilled to have him walk in the locker room. And to which we say, you have lost your mind. And they say back, oh, no, no, no. We have come to that point of enlightenment that you can only dream of. Because if you really were enlightened, you would be celebrating too. So, yeah, folks. These people need to be deprogrammed. They really do, from this craziness. The same thing is true. It's like I said about this attitude. Because you notice this, and I'm sure you have. You never, ever hear them talk about victims. They don't. No, don't get me wrong. No, not real victims. Like victims of crime, victims of some illegal alien who has killed somebody as a drunk driver or raped some child. You don't hear them talk about those victims. No, the only victims are the victims are the protected special victim classes they create. Muslims are their victims. All black people, unless you're conservative, are their victims. Women, unless you're conservative, are their victims. Illegal aliens are their victims. No, those are the real victims. The person left bloody, beaten, shot, and dying on the street at the hands of one of these people. No, oh no, they're not victims. We're not even going to talk about that. Nope, we're not going to talk about that. I mean, here's this gender-confused individual who goes into a school in Minneapolis, or goes into the school, but shoots through the window of a church, kills two children, wounds 17, and what they want to talk about is we mustn't draw conclusions about genders because they're suffering. But I forget, right, homosexuals are their victims and transgenders are their victims, even though homosexuals have a higher standard of living than the average American. But still, they're victims. Transgender goes and kills children, but it's not the children who are victims. No, it's the transgender. He's the victim of society's hatred for transgenders and, oh, please. See, but which always brings me back to the point, they have no interest in you and me. In fact, I dare say they hate normal, hardworking, personally responsible Americans who don't want anything from the government, aren't looking for a handout, don't want any special treatment, just want to be left alone to live their lives and earn their way. They hate us. They hate us because we're in the way of the dependence that they're trying to create that allows them to control people. I mean, that's why communists end up putting people in re-education camps and labor camps and ultimately killing people who won't go along, because each of those people is a reminder to the others that there is another way to look at life, and they don't want others reminded that there's another way to look at life. So we at Stand and we here on American Family Radio, American Family Association, are working to save this country from those forces that would pull us into the abyss, because that's exactly where this kind of thinking goes, into the abyss. And we must simply make up our minds. We're not following. We're not going. And neither is our country going, or at least not on our watch. On our watch, America is going to be a shining city on a hill, the land of the free and the home of the brave. On our watch, America is going to remain the last best hope of mankind among nations on earth. And so this perverse, weird, reality-denying ideology that the left is trying to push on the country, we have to push back with all of our might. Now, speaking of this whole thing of illegal aliens and the impact that they're having, come to find out that there are a number of states that are licensing illegal alien truckers and allowing them to drive on the highways of our country. And Texas apparently is the largest of them. And you know, you wonder, Texas being such a conservative state, how could that happen in Texas? Because folks, these forces of the left have burrowed their way into pretty much every state, every municipality you can think of. They may not be controlling yet, but they will basically lie there like sleeper cells, waiting for the opportunity to assert themselves. And really waiting for the opportunity to take over if they can. And that is exactly what they will do if they can. They will take over. And we simply can't let them do it. So we have got to push back. And again, you notice with this last terrible accident with three people are murdered, you didn't hear, I cannot think of one Democrat that said, you know, that was a terrible thing that happened, a terrible accident that happened. And we don't know that the qualifications of the driver were responsible, but we feel, I mean, they didn't take time to talk about that. because they're not interested in that. They're not interested in truly innocent victims. Because they've already got the victim. The victim is the illegal alien. Why are you all picking on him just because he's in the country illegally? Because he doesn't belong here. Because he should not be here. I mean, folks, look. A job like that, you cannot tell me that there aren't Americans who want those jobs. You can, don't even come to me with that. I'm not buying it. You cannot tell me that. But you know, boy, the left has got a very tricky thing going, don't they? Because on the one hand, they have been trying to tell Americans through population control, hysteria, and abortion, killing of unborn babies by the millions. We've got too many people. 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 And Americans are down now to having fewer babies that are needed to replenish the population. Do you know South Korea is actually in a population crisis because they are not reproducing themselves? And I think the left wants to do that to us. And then, you know, people, they want to ridicule this as replacement theory, but you can slap a label on it. But as one of my professors once said, I'll never forget it, Milton Katz said, shibboleths are no substitute for thought. Slapping a label on it doesn't mean it's wrong. Because the Democrat Party, what they really want to do is they want to replace us with people who they feel they can better control. You know, Muslims are having plenty of children. And I guarantee illegal aliens are having plenty too, because everyone they have becomes an anchor. While they're telling Americans, oh, you know, the population control, we've got too many people, the planet is going to fly off of its orbit, because too many people are just going to cause the weight of the planet to just kind of toss. It is truly preposterous. But that's where we are. And we've got people coming into the country, taking up all these jobs. And thank God, President Trump, we know that in the last jobs report, it showed that we're finally hiring fewer illegal aliens, foreign-born workers, and hiring more Americans. Well, you think the Americans didn't want those jobs in the first place? Of course they did. But how's an American going to get a job? It's just like I've said about slavery. I mean, part of the problem with slavery, people say America was built on slavery. That's a complete lie. Slavery held America back. Because for one thing, all the people who had to compete against slave labor found they couldn't. They couldn't really earn a living if they were trying to get work in a slave state, because the top employers have already got their labor and they buy for life. What do they need you for? Well, you got a similar kind of thing happening today. You know, you can get an illegal alien for a whole lot less money than you can get an American. What do you need an American for? It is truly diabolical, folks. And we have got to stand against it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And I know if we're going to do that, if we do that, we're going to win. Now, let me say a couple of things, ask you all to pray for Virginia. I think things are looking up here, because you all probably saw that Lieutenant Governor Winsom Sears went to a meeting in Fairfax County, if I'm not mistaken, over two boys being suspended because a girl walks into their locker room, except the girl says she's a boy. However, when the girl begins to get undressed, guess what? The girl looks like a girl. And the boys begin to express their chagrin and say, hey, you know, you don't belong here. This is not the right locker room for you. So the girl whips out her phone and videotapes them, reports them to the school authorities, and the boys get suspended for having said, no, no, this is a boys' locker room. You don't belong here. Well, of course, the girl then says, what do you mean I don't belong here? I'm a girl. So, you know. And the guys are done. They say, you don't look like a girl. You don't sound like a girl. You don't have the physique. I mean, you don't, forgive me, you don't look like, I mean, you may be trying to sound like a boy, but you don't look like a boy. You don't have the body of a boy, and you don't belong in the boys' locker room or the boys' shop. So they got in trouble. So anyway, Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears goes to this I think, city council meeting, and somebody at the meeting holds up a sign saying, if we can't use your bathroom, you can't drink at our water fountain. What's conjuring up the days of segregation? Well, Bob Johnson, founder of Black Entertainment Television, BET, saw that. It so angered him, and he's a Democrat, that he gave Winsome Sears a $500,000 contribution. See, in Virginia, we have full disclosure, no limits on contributions. People can give anything they want, but it has to be disclosed. You don't need to restrict what people can give. Just let the light of day expose it. Everybody knows, okay, well, if that person's giving to you, that tells me something about you. But then I can decide my vote on that basis. But why should I limit what that person can give? This is another leftist idea, limiting freedom of speech, limiting your ability, because somehow it's the socialist mindset that, you know, because you have more, you should not be able to give more than your neighbor. I mean, give me a break. So at any rate, he gave her $500,000, $500,000. Now, I was very, very disappointed. I saw a Fox listing out the elections happening this year in New Jersey and Virginia, because those are the only two states that have off-year elections, particularly statewide offices. And it showed Winsome Sears down, I think, like 13 points, 48 to 37. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, that's not right. Man. Somebody needs to check them on that. Because the real clear average of politics does show Winsome Sears down, but only by about 5 points. The margin of error is 4 points. That means, I mean, it's effectively a dead heat. As you tell people she's down by 13 points, they think, well, what is the point? You got people from all over the country who maybe, you know, I'd love to see Virginia hold as a conservative constitutional office holders, and I'm willing to contribute to that. And then you tell them that the candidate for governor is down that far, and they go, oh, well, that's hopeless. It is not hopeless. It is not hopeless. So I just want to encourage you all, be praying for Winsome Earl Sears, be praying for Virginia, please, that the Lord will give us grace to keep the state of George Washington from becoming the state of Karl Marx. Well, look, folks, that's going to do it. God bless each and every one of you. We're going to continue to fight. The next time I come to you, we will only be about 7 days away from Constitution Day, the conclusion to our Project 76 Standathon. So be praying for us. Believe me, I have got a lot to do between now and then, but by the grace of God, I'm going to get every bit of it done. Yes, indeed. And it's going to be a banner project and a banner day, I'm convinced of. And I want to thank you all for your prayers and for your support. Remember, if you whatever you want to do, you want to pray for us, you want to volunteer, you want to give, go to standamerica.us. That's standamerica.us. And if you're not good on internet and you don't feel comfortable with it for whatever reason, to volunteer, go call the number of our field office, and that number is 757-439-1458. That's 757 239-1458. And to just give, if you want to get on the phone and have somebody take the donation online and take care of it for you over the phone, call 757-375-6444. That's 757-375-6444. All right. Thank you all so much for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your love. So you all know what to do. We're going to save our constitutional republic, and folks, we're going to save the Commonwealth of Virginia as well. Just to encourage you, let you know we are going to fight to make sure that we preserve the great Commonwealth of Virginia that so much influenced the formation of our country and our Constitution. So in the meantime, you know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.